Good evening and welcome to the Mind Behind Leadership live here from New York on talkradio.nyc. My name is Graham Dobbin and every week we dig into kind of what happens behind great leaders when they inspire, they influence, they motivate. When leaders are that person who just makes a little bit of a difference, we've all had them in our lives. Now I say this regularly. Leadership and influence is under more scrutiny nowadays than probably at any other time. It's never been more acutely obvious that what we say and do matters. Luckily, there's more than one way of doing the right thing. But just to give you an idea of who we speak to on here, previous guests, we've had Dr. Tony Alessandra, who was magnificent in telling us about people's different behavioural styles, how we can approach them and how we understand. We had Joe Hart, who's the CEO of Dale Carnegie, talking about the principles that have been used for over 100 years. Now, those are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all your podcast platforms. You can catch them there at the Mind Behind Leadership. In the coming weeks, we've got Dr. Sean Duperron, who's a 6-time Emmy Award-winning speaker and a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize, and Eli Ismailidou from the Wall Street Journal TV Market Watch. So that's what's coming up. But tonight, I'm absolutely delighted to say we've got a guest right up there as well. Let me give you a little bit of background here, because this is going to get everybody intrigued. Tonight's guest is Don Lyons. Now, Don, who I know personally, is definitely a relationship marketing expert. She's a co-founder of Ascentive, an international consulting and training companies in 22 countries. Dawn's also a keynote speaker and an Amazon.com best-selling author. She's been hired to speak to audiences of over 500 people, and get this, Ireland, Sweden, France, Germany, the UK, Australia, Canada, and across the US. But I don't see Scotland written down there, so we need to ask about that. Dawn is also a BNI executive director, who has a team of 50 director consultants and 1,700 members. Get this one, in 2020, the year just gone, we kind of had a pandemic. Most people will remember it. We're still there. They still referred $114 million of referred business to each other. Just catch that, $114 million when things aren't going right. And when Dawn's not working, she travels, gardens, entertains, and enjoys the bounty of wines in Sonoma County. I know that for a fact. Now, she also sponsors 3 Bengal tigers at the Wisconsin Big Cat Rescue. Now, these are big cats, lions, tigers, leopards who have been neglected, abused, or abandoned and now have a fantastic place to live out the rest of their lives. How's that for a welcome, Dawn? Good evening.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you so much for having me.
Dawn, we're going to kind of dig in a little bit about your... And on the bio and everything, about your passions and everything, we're going to dig into those as we go through this evening. But, you know, a co-founder of a company that's in 22 countries, Amazon.com best-selling author, speaking all over the world, apart from Scotland, I want to know why, and also creating, you know, over $100 million of business last week, leading teams to be able to do that. Where did all this start? How did you, what was your beginning of the journey here?
Well, I have to tell you, I actually, I think it's a small, I call it the small town effect, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in a teeny, teeny, tiny town. Most people from Michigan don't even know where I lived in Michigan. It is literally, the town is that small. And growing up in a town like that, you know, as a little girl, I was like, wow, there's a big old world out there. But not everybody believed that. You know, I remember many of my friends, you know, oh, no, I'm staying here after high school. Hey, I'm going to live with mom and dad as long as I possibly can kind of thing. Yep. And that just wasn't me. That wasn't in my DNA, if you will. Both of my parents worked for a living. My dad actually worked for GM, General Motors, and he worked there for over 32 years, retired from there. But I remember him trying to tell me as like a 6-year-old girl, we were sitting out on the front porch and I was asking him, Daddy, why are you home today? Like, you're not supposed to be home. You're supposed to be at work. And he was trying to say, well, honey, they don't want me to go to work today. And I'm like, but you love what you do. Like, you love going to work, like you're happy, you know? Mm-hmm. And he really did love his work. And so as a little girl, he was trying to explain to me what getting laid off meant, you know, when he was unable to go to work. And so I saw my dad go through that. As a little girl, I was kind of sad for my dad. But as a teenager, I was mad because it meant that the money was a little tighter, right? Every time he would get laid off, the money got a little bit tighter. And so, you know, I couldn't always get all the things that I wanted as a teenager. And as a teenager, you tend to have a few more emotions, right? And then my mom, who was a great bookkeeper, she lost her job multiple times because companies went out of business, not of any means of her, by the way, but companies just failed. So between those two things, right, like just growing up with that, and again, not everybody in a small town has that mindset, but I happened to hang around with a lot of people that did have that mindset of, nope, I'm just staying here. This is all there is to the world. And that's what I experienced personally. So I call it the small town effect because I was somebody who just wanted to get out and see the world, be a part of the world. And then seeing my parents go through what they went through, I think that's why when I moved to California, I moved out here. My dad came with me for 1 week. We got me a room to rent with what he called hippies. And I didn't know what that was. But with two hippies, right? We got me a car. We got me enrolled in a junior college. I got a part-time job and I was on my own. It was me. I knew absolutely nobody out here. And I think just all those things combined kind of spurred on my entrepreneurship, if you will. So the long way of getting there, but I just love entrepreneurship. I'm a little bit of a control freak. So I like to do what I want when I want to. And entrepreneurialism gives you that. And that's a tiny bit.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a name of many people. They want to kind of do what they want to do. Do you mind if I ask the small town effect? Curious with that. We've got similar backgrounds here. Very blue collar, working class. Both parents out working. That uncertainty and instability. Do you think if you come from a small town where there wasn't the uncertainty, then it would have been as much of a driver to leave? I'm just curious on that.
I don't know that I would have known it was uncertainty back then. I think there was just a drive that there's more.
Yeah.
Right. And I will tell you this too, Graham. I have used the word small town effect before and I actually got some hate mail for it. So I might have to change that in the future. I'm not saying that everyone in a small town, you know, shouldn't stay in their small town. All I'm saying is with my experience, the people around that I was currently hanging out with at that point, they all really kind of did want to stay there. And I just, man, I fought with them. We argued all the time. So I'm like, no, there's so much more out there. And so that I just feel is in my DNA. And, but I think that the small town effect is just knowing that there's more out there. And are you willing to go see it? Are you willing to go take the risk?
I completely agree. There's not a right or wrong in it. It's kind of what works for you. Interesting, mine was slightly different, whereas opportunities just seemed to come up and I just kept on saying yes. And the opportunities kept on getting bigger because I was curious. And I think most people locked it down. So that's what I see as a small town effect, is people lock down the opportunities. So you end up in California, not knowing anybody. What happens then? So obviously you go from there and then the next day you start a consulting business. It's in 22 countries. No?
Absolutely. Of course, it was that quick.
Good job.
Only I wish. No, gosh.
You must have had you must have had some real influencers that kind of come in and just appeared.
Yeah, you know, I dropped out of school. I was going to school to be a travel agent, right? So wanted to be a travel agent because I do love to travel. And I dropped out of school my last semester. And the reason why is because I went to a workshop in LA. There were 1,000 people there and they all had that entrepreneurial mindset. And I was immediately intrigued. I was like, this is what I want. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going for. Don't really care how long it takes me, but this is what I want. So I was in a room finally, right? Finally in a room of like-minded people. And so I think that's where it all started. And for me, I was able to kind of rise up through the ranks pretty quickly. And then I had some amazing mentors in my life. I also saw some people that kind of used their power to manipulate people. And that was a huge turnoff. So I actually kind of ran from one of the companies and then really went and worked with this one gal. And she was totally, truly a lifesaver. She saw things in me that I never believed and never saw. And you know how that, you have that one person that just finally gives you that confidence? You know, like I remember the moment in time. I remember what suit I was wearing. I remember where I was on the freeway in my little red Mercedes, driving on the 280 to 380 interchange, if anybody knows that from out here in California. And I just said to myself, I want to do that for the rest of my life. I want to believe so much in other people's that it's palpable, that they can feel it, that they know it, right? To see where I can help them get to, because that is what she did for me. And that alone was a huge turning point in my life.
You said you were working with this person. Do you mean as in they were a coach for you or a mentor for you, or you were actually working together? Oh, right. This was a mentor for you.
Yep. She was one of my biggest mentors of my life. Yeah.
It's an amazing feeling. I know, kind of being on both sides, amazing feeling when we spot something in someone else that they don't see themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's something that it's something that's kind of in all of us as well. Mm-hmm. We're about to go. This is speeding along already. I want to dig in a little bit after the commercial break here, just about what an entrepreneurial mindset is and kind of how that's maybe slightly different from what we do. But I will tell you just before we go, Don and I know each other. We've spent lots of time with each other. We've never spoken about dropping out of school and both going to travel agents. So we need to discuss that at some time over some Sonoma wine. But I did go back to school, but that's actually a true story. So you shocked me there. You're listening to the Mind Buying Leadership. We have got Don Lyons on here tonight, live on talkradio.nyc. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc.
We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Mind Behind Leadership live on talkradio.nyc. We're speaking with Dawn Lyons. Did I see you dancing to the theme tune there, Dawn? Everybody dances.
Absolutely.
Everybody dances to that theme tune. You mentioned having an entrepreneurial mindset or seeing others having an entrepreneurial mindset. What is that? What did you see? Curious.
Yeah, that's a really good question because I don't know if there's a true definition. Mm-hmm. I believe in the spirit behind it, right? I believe that most entrepreneurs have a huge passion for what it is that they love, what they're doing, right? I believe that they have a good amount of drive, maybe a little bit more above average kind of scenario. And then they just want to get it out to the world. You know, whatever it is that they're great at, that they're doing, they just want to get it out to the world in some way, shape, or form. You know, being able to select the clients that you want, being able to work when you choose to work. You know, it's just the freedom and the flexibility and the ability to reach whatever level of success you're looking for. You know, not everybody wants to be a multimillionaire or a billionaire, but no matter where you are in entrepreneurship, you can reach whatever level of success you choose to, and you can't be held back by anyone except for you. And that is one of the keys. And that is one of the issues that I would love to chat with you later about, because I think that is so crucial. Mindset is everything.
Let's kind of have a look at that now. If mindset, you know, it's one of the things that's strange. Interviewed Joe Hart, who's the CEO of Dale Carnegie. Now, Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, was written over 100 years ago. It's kind of the bedrock for almost professional development books now. It's the biggest selling business book ever. And so much has been taken from it. But this is still revolutionary stuff to some people. And it is. The whole book's about mindset and attitude and approach rather than these strategies of do 1, 2, and 3 and 4 will happen, because that's just not what works. Right. Why do you think it is that, although all that information's out there, we've kind of known this forever, people still struggle with their own personal mindset?
Yeah. I think it's difficult for some people to consistently work on themselves. So I got into personal development literally when I was 19. Now, I had a whole bunch of baggage, so I had a lot of stuff to clean up. But the years that I focused more on my personal development than I did on my business development, I actually did better in business. But here's the key. I think that people figure out, okay, I have this one thing that I really need to work on. And they work on it and they achieve it, and that's fantastic. But at every new level of success, there's another little something, something that's going on. And it kind of is more about the consistency of the progress, in my opinion, than it is, hey, I'm going to fix this one thing about me because I know it's holding me back. It's, are you willing to kind of do that all your way throughout life? And I think it's an important key for people to realize that every time you jump to that next level of success, There's going to be something else going on between your two ears, right, in this brain of ours that is going to go, oh, wait a second. I don't know. Is this the right thing to be doing? Let's avoid this thing for a while. You know, and I think we all deal with that.
Just in your work as a mentor and a coach, which we'll come to in a little while, I know you work with other people. Do you see any common threads when people are coming, you know, through different levels of success? I'm seeing a nod, so I'm guessing that's a yes.
Yes, definitely. So throughout all of my coaching, so I've been coaching for years now, and I started working out of my home when in about 2000. So I love working from home and all of that. Obviously doing videos and chats and things like this is easy. And the cool thing that I've discovered about entrepreneurs is they typically struggle in one or two of three areas, right? So I am never really concerned about people's passion for their business. I do believe that entrepreneurs have a ton of passion, right? But it's not the passion I'm concerned about, but it's the belief in themselves. So I think there's three things that entrepreneurs may not believe enough in. And it's one of the three that will have them not getting to the success that they're looking for. It's belief in themselves, right? Belief in their expertise. And believe it or not, that is different because I can fully believe in myself, right? But my expertise may not be at the right level for me to truly gain the success that I'm looking for, right? And then the last one is very important. They don't believe that they can run a intensely successful business. And so all of the folks that I coach, I have this intake form that I utilize, and I ask them the question, if you were to really think about what coaching would do with me, what you would do with coaching with me, out of these three things, which one do you feel is the one that is getting in the way of your success the most? And I have them order them. And in general, it's self-belief and then running the business and then expertise. And so when you look at that, it's like, all right, so then what do we need to do to increase your belief in yourself, right? What are those leadership skills you want to focus on? How can we ensure that we give you action items that are going to help you develop these so it becomes a habit for yourself? You know, as far as running the business goes, hey, there are things about running my businesses that I can't stand. And guess what? There are people out there that can do it for me and I can pay them handsomely.
And they enjoy it.
Yes, they enjoy it. And I don't. So, hey.
Interesting. You talk about leadership skills. One of the things I said at the very beginning was there's more than one way of doing the right thing. How, you know, what's your approach or what's your thoughts on how we make sure when we give people leadership skills that actually used in the right way?
Yeah, well, that starts with good intentions and a good heart.
Yeah,
that is first and foremost for me. I hope that by now, 50 some years on this planet, I hope that by now I can determine if someone is doing something for the right reasons. And whether or not we have to have a hard conversation with someone, if we do it with the right heart and the right intention, it should be a win-win for everybody. Because the right heart is to take care of that person with grace, right, with compassion. And at the same time, we may be trying to stretch them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But we're protecting them when we're doing it. We're keeping them safe when we're doing it. I very similar, I think, if people do things with the right heart, if you make a mistake, it almost doesn't matter because we know what the intention is and it's easy to mop it up. Mm-hmm. If it's done with the right intention, the right heart, the right approach.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from
Absolutely.
So when you talk about the three things themselves, expertise, and can they run that business, that almost sounds like that comes from a bit of experience. I'm just wondering, I'm just throwing that out there. May not be really true.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, again, remember I said I am a prodigy of personal development, right? Like literally consistent personal development. Like I said, I had a lot of baggage. I grew up in a household where, You know, I never remember my parents saying the words, I love you, right? Maybe once or twice, I'm proud of you. But more than often, it was, why can't you be more like your sister? Right? Because she was great at everything.
Okay. Maybe you're sure you didn't grow up in Scotland. It sounds very similar.
I think that's why we get along so well, right? No, but so I had a lot of baggage. My parents got divorced. My mom moved to Florida. I did not want to move to Florida. I convinced my dad to move back into the house with me so that I could finish out high school. And then my dad lived in Michigan, my mom lived in Florida, and I picked California to move to. So you can kind of see how independent I was, right? But I also had, you know, issues around trust and love and abandonment. And, you know, I saw my parents hit a level of success. And honestly, I didn't really know anything above that because I'd never been around people that had really anything more than what they had. You know, and then when I started to put myself into those scenarios where I could learn from people that were doing things for the right reasons, with the right heart and intentions, that's when I started saying, okay, so they got here by doing this. I need to do all of those things. One of my favorite sayings is find someone that has what you want and do what they've done. Because you have to start back at the beginning. Because they came from somewhere too, right? You can't just go and do what they're doing because they did a whole bunch of work on themselves before they even got to that point. And I think those are, they're just really key pieces to success.
It's interesting. I've spoken with Olympian athletes and everything on here, and it's quite interesting that it almost sometimes feels lazy when we're talking about coaching that we make that comparison with sports. So an international sports star, the best runner or jumper or fencer in the world, you would always expect them to have a coach. Now, it's likely that coach has never reached the level that they've reached, but they've got some of those patterns in the background. And you'll also find that when the best in the world started, they kind of modelled on someone else. They kind of looked up to someone and watched what they were doing. And yet we forget to do that kind of thing in business. It's really quite interesting. When we come back after the break, I'm going to kind of want to talk about how we can do things differently in business, how you've inspired people to kind of do the kind of results that we're looking at. 114 million has been passed, and you're leading big teams there. So how do we do that? How do we have fun in business? But I'm also going to I'm going to give you a bit of warning on this. I kind of want to know when did you first get that belief? Because I know belief's a big word for you. When did you first get that belief that, oh, now things are different and I can move forward? You're listening to talkradio.nyc. This is The Mind Behind Leadership. My name is Graham Dobbin. I am so lucky this evening to be speaking with Dawn Lyons. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Mm-hmm.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to The Mind Behind Leadership. We're speaking with Don Lyons. Don, just so you know, I chose that music. That's my, I'm so proud of that. I can't believe how many people dance to it. You know what? I think about you a lot living in New York when I am, and I'll give a plug to Macy's. Every time I come past Macy's and they've got these huge Believe signs that, you know, almost go to half a block. And I just go, that's Don. Don's around me all the time. When did you first have, I know the word believe is huge for you. Why is it big? And when was that first time that you kind of, you really began to believe in yourself?
Mm-hmm. So it goes back to that first mentor. Her name's Dani, and she had given me an opportunity to speak on her stage. Basically, it was over 500 people at the Santa Clara Convention Center. And she hadn't ever allowed anyone on her stage before. She gave me 20 minutes to talk about a certain topic that I was doing well at within the organization. And I got a standing ovation. And I mean, I got to tell you, I was freaking out. I had splotchy red marks like all over the place, right? But I made sure I wore a really like high suit and everything. We were walking back. I was walking off stage. She was walking up to the stage down the center aisle. And this is what I remember. Again, everybody's giving me a standing ovation. She brushes by me and she goes, "Oh, I can't believe you." And I keep walking, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I ruined everything. Like I went from being on a super high to just shattered. I get to the back of the room and her husband says to me, "Dawn, you are in so much trouble." And my heart is crushed. Like I felt like I ruined their entire conference. And I really didn't understand. And then he went on to say, "We are so sorry." I'm like, what did I do? You know, and I started tearing up. And he said, "We had no idea that you could move an audience like that. We had no idea that you could inspire people like that." And he went on and on. And honestly, I don't really remember everything else he said because I had just gone through this huge roller coaster of emotion. I went from thinking I did amazingly well, thinking the biggest mentor of my life, I just ruined everything for her. Then I was in trouble. By the way, I don't like to be in trouble at all. Right? So I was like ecstatic, shattered, but then I was rebuilt. And that's literally how I felt. And remember I said, I know the suit I was wearing. I know the car I was driving. I know exactly where I was on the freeway. when Danny actually hugged me and kind of said a lot of the same things that her husband had said, that was it. That was the moment that somebody believed in me enough to literally go from feeling physically shattered to being completely rebuilt. And from that day forward, that's why in the car, I literally said to myself out loud, I actually said it out loud, I want to do that for other people. I want other people to feel that way that I feel right now. I want to be able to do that for other people for the rest of my life. Like that was it.
I'm curious. What was it that Danny said to you when she brushed?
Yeah. All she said, oh, I can't believe you. So, but I took it as a negative. Like,
why did you go there?
I mean, exactly. I'm curious. Do you remember all the baggage? Yeah.
It's interesting. The kind of a trigger that we automatically think that. I know you do still get in trouble. Me too. We don't always mean it, but that's kind of what happens. So that was the first time, and that was kind of the spur for you to move on.
Definitely. And I think today, the big thing, one of my newest coaching clients, she said she was looking at a couple people. I'm like, perfect. I love that. I love that when people take the time to really interview their coaches. And so when she decided on me, I said, I gotta ask, why me? And she goes, because I feel like you believe in me more than anybody else does. Oh, that was it. Price. It wasn't time. It wasn't any of that. It's I think that you believe in me more than anybody else does.
That's good and bad, isn't it? That there are actually coaches out there that are pitching for business that might not believe in someone. Because we get that gut instinct. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, it's either that or they're not showing people that they care enough to believe in them.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, look, let's jump forward. Let's jump forward because we've got kind of big stuff that's happened recently. Now, just to explain to everybody, you're based out in Santa Rosa. You've got businesses in the Bay Area. I've spoken to people out there. I've spoken to Mike as well. You're kind of used to change and uncertainty. You know, there's been fires. There's been a whole lot of other things that have been business disruptors that might not happen in other areas. But talk me through kind of how business has changed for you in the last 12 months, how you've inspired, over 50 kind of leaders within your organization to do things for others. Because maybe give people a bit of a background of the organization, but really what's changed and the results from that.
So as far as what's changed for us, my husband and I both work from home, so that hasn't changed anything. The biggest change has been literally lack of, human contact. and so right now what we have is Zoom. What the world has is a form of Zoom, whether it's whatever company you're using, right? And I think the biggest thing that has changed is that people have realized, well, I have to continue. I have to move forward somehow. I have to put food on my table. And what am I going to do? Well, Zoom is what's available to me, or WebEx, whatever those are. And I think just having the world be in the same position has made it all okay, right? It's not, because I know several coaches that all they do is coach by video, right? That's not me normally. I bring people to my home and I do 2-3-4 hour sessions with them. Why? I like that personal time. I like to see their their body movements and what how they get triggered with things, their facial expressions. And you can see some of that on Zoom, but it's so different in person. And so I would say those are the biggest changes, and I think it's all okay. Like we've learned so much from being able to have this. I feel like I'm more productive, more efficient, I don't know, more effective, but at least as effective.
Yeah.
And as far as you talking about like leading other people, I learned a very long time that I'm pretty bossy.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Hide that well.
I like to tell people what to do. And guess what? When I was telling people what they should do and how they should do it, I didn't get very far, right? It's kind of difficult to coach that way, right? You can be a consultant that way, but coaching that way doesn't really work. And so I've come up with this formula of just figuring out, because I want to, how can I get the other person on the other side of me saying, well, yeah, I want to do that. Because here's another thing with entrepreneurs, right? If they want to do something, they're probably going to go do it. If they have to do something, then it's like, well, maybe if I have enough time, maybe if I choose to, I will. But if you can get them to say, yeah, I want that, I want to go do that, you don't have to push. You don't have to tell. You don't have to motivate it and remotivate and keep going and talk to them 20 times a day to keep them moving, because they're like, yeah, I want that. And so that one thing has made my life so much easier, so much easier. I like simple. And if I can make my life more simple, I'm going to do it every second of every day.
You know, many times I hear leaders saying, I want you to, you need to, you must, you have to, you want. I'm referencing Dale Carnegie again. Principle number three in the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, is arousing the other person, an eager want. Yep. Just get them to want to do it.
Yep.
So what's in it for them? So how did you get, bit of context, BNI, regular business community meetings, for want of a kind of a better term. People got together face to face, they built relationships, and you looked how they could create business opportunities for each other. And it's a real kind of outward looking, how can I help others, and it'll come back to me. How did you teach people, others, to kind of look at that when that's not necessarily, we coach, we communicate, but how did you teach doctors or roofers or construction people or something that was the way to do it?
Mm-hmm. You know, the beauty of this one, and again, yeah, I like things simple, right? I did it. When you really think of organizations, it comes down to the people in the organization. And yeah, we may have some influence on a few people, but I do not have influence with 1,700 people, even though we have 1,700 members. But I have influence with a few. And that influence has trickled down to create a culture in a chapter to where a visitor walks in and they can feel it. They can understand what's happening with these people based on the camaraderie and the relationships and the fun that they're having. You know, you still got to have fun in business too. And so I'd love to take some credit, and I got to give the credit to the people that are there meeting those folks and welcoming them in with the right heart and the right intentions.
I'm keeping a score here, Dawn. That's twice this evening you've been extremely modest. We don't want that to happen again. I want to hear the real stuff. And we're just about to have our final break. When we come back, you mentioned the word fun. And I'm curious about kind of, how do we have fun in business? Why is it important? And how can we do things differently? You know, how do we kind of go about things and stand out rather than just doing the same old mundane things that everybody else is doing? You're listening to The Mind Behind Leadership. My name is Graham Dobbin. I'm speaking with Dawn Lyons this evening, and this is talkradio.nyc. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7.
Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Mind Behind Leadership. We're speaking with Don Lyons. Don, this is flying in. Oh, we'll see if we can have another hour. We're talking about change in business and how we have fun and how we do things. I mean, one of the largest parts that I'm getting involved with at the moment with lots of businesses is about uncertainty. It's how do we take uncertainty out of the workplace? And sometimes that's tough decisions. What's your thoughts on that? Where do you see that?
Yeah, this is a really important topic right now. Mike and I have done a lot of work on brain-friendly coaching and really understanding how the brain works. And one of the things that I learned super quickly, your brain does not like stuff that is uncertain, right? Your brain is always looking for a solution to something. It's looking to fix something. It's looking to do better, right? It's just what it does, right? It keeps our entire body and system running. And so uncertainty is chaos for the brain. So what I've been working with a lot of folks with is something that I call the what are you avoiding exercise. And for your listeners today, if they just jot this down, it's so simple and easy, but it gets your brain out of uncertainty. So I call it what are you avoiding? And all you do is you write down, all right, what are the things I'm avoiding? Right? I've got a book that's got 18,000 words and I haven't finished it. I only need 22 and I haven't finished it, right? So why am I avoiding them? Just as an example, right? So that's one column. You write down everything that you're avoiding. Then you write down, well, what's the fear around that? What is the fear around that? And then you have to say the fear out loud. You have to say it out loud because here's the thing. As soon as you say it out loud, your brain is going to go either, well, that's dumb, or, well, you're not going to die because if you just do this, and your brain will start to figure out the solution automatically.
Right.
So you start, then you write down, okay, so what's the solution? If I know I'm not going to die or hurt somebody else, right, what's the solution? And then the next step is just to write down what's one action I could take to get closer to getting this project accomplished, whatever that project is, right? The other thing that I find really interesting, I've said this to many of my clients, if you say it out loud and your brain doesn't start to find solutions, go say it to your best friend. Tell them what, hey, I'm avoiding something. Here's the fear that I have. And say it to your best friend. Because your best friend is going to go, why are you thinking that way? Or how come? Like, well, that's not going to happen. And they're going to bring some truth, which becomes certainty. Your whole goal is to get your brain to understand that there is another step I can take. And if you can do that, I think that right now times are uncertain and that's just a thing. But every day I can do something to get closer to what I really want to have happening in my life. And I think that's key.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there was an acceptance of uncertainty for quite a period, probably 6 or 7 months last year, but everybody said, it'll change next month. It'll just change next month. And I mentioned this so many times, I'm getting bored of it. I'm going to have a recording just to be mentioning this. One of the big shifts in New York was when Google, and it was round about July, Google said, you're not going back, or we're not going back into the office until July 2021. And you could almost hear the gasp in New York. Everyone going, what do they mean? And I thought, this is brilliant. Now we know what we're working with. We've now got a year that something that we can't put everything on hold for a year. We now know what we're working with. We're not pretending we're going back into the office next month. And I've come off two calls today, one with one of the largest car manufacturers in the world. And we're saying, no, it's not virtual training till June or July. It's till the end of the year. If that changes and gets better, great. But let's make those decisions now. Let's make them now where we've got some certainty. Everybody knows what we're working with. We're not constantly looking for something to change around us. Now we've got control.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you know, writing down what we're avoiding, what's the fear around that gives us back that control. Mm-hmm. So controlling and taking away uncertainty is one thing. Stopping doing what everybody else is doing and kind of having a little bit of a different approach to the market. I've been hit by five new email lists I seem to have been on today, all telling me how great their product is without building any relationship. I'm really about to buy. How do you kind of get your members being creative like that when it's maybe not the natural go-to? How do you get them thinking in different ways about how they can have fun in business and how they can stand out?
Yeah, you know, again, it's going to go right back to mindset. One of my mm-hmm. dear friends is an esthetician, and estheticians have been closed down majority of this entire pandemic, and yet she's having her best year ever because she pivoted, right? She started doing virtual spa days, sending out customized skincare kits, you know, all of these different things that she never did before, and yet her business is flourishing. You know, and so it's, yeah, be creative. But I think it was Sir Richard Branson that said this: find someone who has a great idea and make it just a little bit better. Right? That's him, right?
Yeah.
And it's exactly what he's done, you know? And so all you estheticians out there, right? Here, I'm just giving you a couple of ideas that one gal has done. What if you go make it better? You know, for Valentine's Day, she's got date night kits that she's sending out. You know, it's just all these little things that she would have never have done if it wasn't for the pandemic. And yet she's doing even better in business now.
It's interesting. I'm curious about how we come out, because we will come out of this and there'll be kind of the opportunity to go back to what we thought was normal. Right. But now, it's like coming out of a comfort zone. Once you've come out of it, it can't go back to the same shape. And I'm curious about kind of how people are going to blend business going forward and how they keep that creativity going.
Well, yeah. And I think there's so many options for that. And again, so we don't get paralyzed, just write down all the options. You know, again, if you can get it out of your brain and onto paper, you know, write down all your options. I could create these things online and keep those online even mm-hmm. when we go back to face-to-face. But maybe I hire someone to do all the online stuff so I get to go back and do what I love, right? So pivoting can have been an incredibly great thing for some people. And you can still go back to doing it the old-fashioned way, if you will. But why not keep those other stream of revenues that you've already created that are working? So I don't think it's either or. I like and or both.
Yeah, absolutely. We're running out of time, Dawn. I'm really disappointed about it. Just really quickly, thinking back, you've given us a really good insight. Thinking back to kind of how you started this journey and other people giving you belief, what would you change or what would you do earlier? What kind of thing would you maybe step up and do before you did? I'll tell you what, let me ask you this way. What were you avoiding that you managed to get over?
Hey, you can't use my own stuff on me. Honestly, I would have done more personal development faster. And think about this. If I could have gotten over some of my issues earlier, mm-hmm. how many more people could I have helped? How many more people could I have touched? How many more people could I have influenced or taught on how to get over the same thing? You know, there's only a few things that most people deal with, right? It's all the self-worth issues, a lot of the abandonment stuff, issues with actually achieving success. All of those are fairly standard. So if I could have gotten over some of those earlier, I could have taught more people. And that would be my one wish for sure.
So knowing that, my guess is that your advice to anybody even starting on this is get as much professional development under you and personal development under your belt as possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Figure out what holds you back so that you know, and there is no uncertainty there, and then keep going. Because again, at every level of success, there's going to be another little issue. It may not be that hard to overcome, but there still could be that little thing that's just holding you back a tiny bit.
Dawn, we have not got to half of what I wanted to get to tonight. I mean, one of the big things that you said earlier was, find someone who's done what you want to do and see what they did then. Is kind of seems to be a big nugget, and the avoiding what's the fear around it and what action you could take. Absolutely outstanding. Dawn, thank you so much for joining us. I would love to have you on again. I'm sure we could probably persuade you to do that. Thank you again. Thank you to everybody who's helped with the show this evening. You're listening to The Mind Behind Leadership. We'll be back next Thursday live on talkradio.nyc, 7 p.m. snow allowing us to. Have a great evening. Good night.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.